Hi.
Hello.
Well, today I have my boyfriend helping me out because I sound sick and I didn't want to do this by myself today. So
And I
thanks for.
reluctantly agreed.
He did not reluctantly agree. I
Reluctantly.
texted him this morning on Snapchat and I said, "Hey babe, do you want to do this with me?" And he sent me with a big smile, a yes.
I always smile at you. Come on now.
Oh, okay, maybe. Well, everyone, this is my boyfriend, my love, my John. Say
Hi, I'm John.
hi. And tell us something about yourself.
I'm a pilot.
He's a pilot.
Don't know what to tell. You put me on the spot like that, I just don't know what to say.
Well, spit a couple facts about yourself. You're not that boring.
I'm pretty boring, I'll admit.
No,
Let's
okay.
see. Before I was a pilot, I wanted to be an engineer. That was just too much math. Before that, I wanted to own a business, and before that, I wanted to be a chef. And I decided, yeah, probably not for me. Yeah, my entire dream was just to be a pilot since I was, as long as I can remember, like 5 years old. I used to stick my toy airplanes out the window and pray to God not to lose them
Oh,
and
yeah.
fly them out the window.
They're so cute.
I was five.
So he's almost graduated. Are you excited to graduate?
Yes, oh please, I'm ready to be done. No
Yeah,
more. No more school.
he's almost done. Well, it's funny because I've known him since
The end of 2018?
August 2018. No, October 2018.
October of 2018.
And that's when we met. And if you can see in my vlogs on Life on Point from a long, long time ago, there's like a very small clip that's like very horrible quality of my friends that I was on FaceTime with, and you'll see that he was one of them. I'm very
A
long.
picture or like an entire clip or a video of us?
It was just a little clip of you guys laughing that, and at the time, my friend Yingru was editing all of my videos. So I would just send her a buttload of footage, and I was like, if you're gonna use it, don't use too much of it, because I was like, I don't know if they're comfortable on camera or whatever. Well, I knew of two of three, but at the time I didn't have your number to be like, hey, can I? So it was like a 0.5 second clip of you guys just laughing.
That's fine. So we just got turned into like a little sound bar
Yeah,
thing. Press a button, you hear us laugh.
basically. I mean, I think I was talking, I can't even remember the context, but it was kind of like a, you know, when you see those memes pop up in videos where it's like a cheer or like, you know, like, ooh, or like something like
Yeah,
that. It
yeah,
was like
yeah.
basically like that.
Well, glad to know I'm a soundbite now.
Yep.
It's
Well, you
fine. If
said
you
so.
look through Instagram through some of the reels and stupid videos, you'll find one of me acting like a complete idiot with my two buddies. So,
Really? Where's
yeah.
that?
It used to be called ATC Memes. Yeah, I'm a meme.
What? How did I not know
'Cause I never shared it with you, but it's funny. And some of the comments got really mean, and I'm like, I regret being a part of this.
See, this is why the internet is so mean. Except my corner of the internet is really nice to me. Actually, that's not always true, but I don't look at requested DMs for a reason.
That wasn't a requested DM. That was just a comment. I just
Oof.
laughed it off. I'm like, oof.
See,
'Cause when I
that's.
look at it back, when I look back on it, I'm like, oh yeah, that looks terrible.
Oh
That
my
looks terrible.
God. Well, that's the problem with the internet because they will say one thing in your comment section and then in your DMs they'll just be like, go to hell, die, all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't think a bunch of aviationers really care that much.
I don't think so either. Well, I have a question.
What's your question?
Do you believe in New Year's resolutions?
Not really. I never kept them myself, but I sort of see it as a way of like if somebody wants to make a change or have a goal for an entire year and they stick to it, then I 100% endorse it, having goals and dreams. But at the same time, it's like you gotta take the initial step. I think the reason I don't believe in New Year's resolutions a whole lot is mostly because if you take the step, you got to be willing to commit 100%. And the reason I don't believe is if I don't really feel like a strong passion for it, I'm not going to commit to it.
Yeah.
So I won't even make a resolution.
That's how I feel about New Year's resolutions. I was telling my dad this week. I was like, I feel like New Year's resolutions is just another way of saying I'm going to make a commit. I'm going to make a commitment to do something that I'm not really going to keep.
Yeah, that's basically how I see it too. And it's really sad because if you break down, if you have a goal or an idea or a dream, it's, and you want to keep it, well, create a plan for it and set up smaller goals.
Yeah.
And if you have smaller goals, well, now you have a plan. If you really want to do something, in my eyes, if you just got to make a plan for it, have a series of smaller goals that eventually build up to the bigger goal. Because if you try and go for the main goal outright, it's near impossible. And Sometimes you get frustrated. I know I did a lot with anything I set my mind to because I felt like I wasn't making any progress. And in the grand scheme of things, I really wasn't because I didn't have smaller goals that sort of tracked my progress to getting from point A to point B.
Yeah. Because I saw something one of my friends posted this week on Instagram, and it was basically like, instead of focusing on going to the gym every single day, like focus on your long-term health. And it was like, I was like, oh yeah, because if you focus on your long-term health, then you create a map basically for you to follow. And then you'll get there eventually. I mean, because it's like, I thought about like my health journey last year when I was trying to recover from anorexia, and I was like, well, the goal was to not have that habit anymore, and that didn't just happen. Oh, one day I ate and so then I wasn't anorexic anymore. It was like series of goals.
Yeah, and for something as severe as that, you definitely have to set up a bunch of smaller goals, because when you accomplish something, any sort of accomplishment, it feels good. Like, if you really think about it, if you're not sure what to do throughout the day and it's like, you know, you got to do this, this, and this, do a lot of little things, because the little things eventually add up.
Yeah.
And as you sort of just keep trying, and the more accomplishments you have with doing something as simple as cleaning a kitchen or making your bed, you feel good after it because now it's all done.
Yeah.
I used to hate cleaning my room, but every time my room's clean, I'm so happy.
Me too. I used to stuff everything under the bed. Did you do that as a kid?
No, I didn't really have that luxury. I never really had a bed that sort of had an underneath. So I couldn't hide.
To stuff things under?
No. I had the laundry chair.
Laundry chair? What's that? Who is here? Hey!
Oh, that is James.
It's James.
Are you recording a podcast?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hell yeah. I'm changing your middle name.
You're changing my middle name?
Yeah.
To what? That's funny.
That was great.
We're gonna have you come on this as well at some point.
What is that?
This is a podcast.
Oh, you guys, is it your guys' podcast?
Well, I'm recording an episode with John for the first time ever. Nice. And we're talking about New Year's resolutions, and then I had people ask questions. We have a couple questions from the audience. So.
Nice.
Yeah, you want to do one of these days?
Do I?
Yeah.
Sure.
You can't back out now. You
can't back out. We can do it all three of us together, actually. That'd be fun. I know. We should do it all three of us together. That'd be fun.
That episode's going to be demonetized.
How was work, buddy? You don't want to talk about it?
Dude, that's my seventh day straight.
They're not allowed to do that. That's illegal.
Eight is illegal.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, that's true. Never mind.
Because 7 days, it's within a work week. If they have you work 8 days consecutively, it goes into the next week.
I forgot about that. Because in the dance world, it's the same thing. You work like 7 days and they have to legally give you a day off.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Also, it's not my fault.
What's not your fault?
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. You chose to do that on your own free accord. Not my fault.
Oh, my God. You're still talking about the Pepsis.
Because every the splits right now, just random.
A half split.
It's a ballerina
for
you.
My hip needs to pop.
No.
Boy.
Where were we? We were talking about goals and resolutions.
We moved past that, I think.
Did we?
Not sure.
Do you have a New Year's goal or resolution?
No.
No?
No.
When was the last time you made one of those?
Well, I don't remember, actually, because I never really made one or stuck to it. I never really, it wasn't something that I considered
didn't ever really jump on that train?
No. I wasn't a resolutioner, so I wasn't buying a gym membership in January and then going for like 2 weeks and then quitting.
Yeah. I think I've always tried to make New Year's resolutions. I definitely got hard on that train. But I didn't make one this year. I just made a schedule.
And, well, it's basically the same thing.
Well, no, because I haven't had a schedule since, like, 2019, before the pandemic. Like, I'll have days where I'll calendar block out if I'm just super busy so I don't forget everything. But, like, for the most part, I haven't really calendar blocked my weeks in a while. But...
No, I mean, COVID will do that to you.
Well, we didn't have anywhere really to go. We weren't really sure what to do. I don't know what's different about 2022, but...
I think it's just the year where everyone is kind of like, I'm over it. Like, and there are people who are still very much trying to be cautious about it. And you know what? Lord bless them. But it's one of those things where it's like even the people who have been trying to be safe about it, trying to like, you know, they wear the mask, they've gotten the vaccine and all that, that they're just like, they kind of want a sense of normal again,
yeah,
prior to the pandemic. And you know what, that's pretty much understandable for anyone,
right,
considering the fact that there's a lot of sacrifices that went in that happened because of 2020's pandemic. That's pretty much it. It's like we just want a sense of normalcy again, being able to go out to the beaches, go to restaurants, and not have this sort of fear over us.
Yeah.
And now it's just a whole mess of things that are popping up because of it.
Yeah, I think we've all just kind of seen the mess and we're just like, well, all right, we just know it's going to be messy for the next little bit, so let's just try and...
Everyone's just trying to keep their...
Let's figure out a new normal and just figure it out.
And I think that's sort of really all it is just figuring out a new normal.
Yeah, I think it had to take us like, what is it? Oh my gosh, it's almost been 2 years. It's taking almost 2 years for us to figure out, okay, like, this is where we're at now. This is what our lives look like now. All right. Moving on.
Yeah.
But
I mean it seems like it's been tough for everybody. That's kind of what the thing is, and it's just where do we go from here from now? And I think 2022 is kind of that thing. It's like, okay, let's just hit a hard reset. Whatever's here, let's rebuild what's here.
Yeah.
And build on top of the foundation that we have now.
Yeah. I'm excited for 2022. I don't know why it feels like...
It feels different.
It does feel different. It's not like one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, new year, new me. Because I personally don't feel any different. But the year itself feels different.
Something about it just...
Like,
it's like
the air feels different.
Feels cleaner.
I know. We've gotten so much rain.
We need more. I just want more.
Well, the good thing is there. I saw a news article that came out that said that basically, in not so many words, if our legislators can figure out their, you know, little spats about how to store the water, the snowpack might get us out of the drought this year.
Well, that's...
Which?
It depends on how quickly summer comes and how quickly winter ends.
Well, it's pretty warm today. It was freezing yesterday, though.
I really don't know. I wasn't really paying attention. I was on the go for most of the day, so I was like, get up and go.
Yeah. Well, I got sick over New Year's. I'm feeling better now. It's just my voice sound is just shot. But I am excited to get moving again. I actually have a schedule now. I'm going to get moving again. I'm going to start exercising again, which I know I say every year, and then I give up in April, but my goal is to make it to May.
I mean, you last longer than most people. Most people get to the end of January and they're like, yeah, I'm okay with being fat.
Yeah, well, okay. I feel like I have a lot more discipline than the average person, and everything that I do requires all the discipline I can possibly muster, but it's also really exhausting. So then it's just like, okay, where do I need the most discipline? And then some things go, okay. And then they go on the back burner.
I think it's just prioritization. It's like how much of a priority is something, you know? And for people who kind of like do the gym route, like, you know what? You want to try and better yourselves? Great. That's all amazing. You know,
yeah.
I hope you get where you want to be. And then there are those who kind of like just go, but then they kind of like their resolve doesn't like stick to it.
Yeah.
And they end up doing like most people do and just put it on the back burner. And it's like, yeah, no, I got other stuff to do, stuff that takes more priority. And you know what? That's fine.
Yeah.
It's a matter of if you want to do this and you want this to be a consistent thing, keep at it and try and work something out.
Yeah.
But that goes with anything you want to do. If you really want to get it done, it's like you just got to keep trying, keep putting in effort.
Yeah. What are you most excited for?
Graduation, for sure.
Yeah. And here I am still in year one. I'm not even done with my first semester yet. I really want to be done with the semester. I liked what I learned, but I'm kind of over it now. I just want to move on.
And it's only the first semester.
I know. Well, it's not even because, like, I just don't want to have to do a final for it. That's all. I'm like, I don't want to have to go through that pain of having to do the final. Because I'm like, I know my stuff, but I'm not very good when it comes to tests. So then I kind of
Are you like a nervous test taker?
Huh?
Are you a nervous test taker?
Yeah. Like, as soon as I get a test, even if I'm not timed on it, I completely just lose everything. Like, my mind is just blank.
Yeah, I feel that.
I'm like, man. I'm like, I know my stuff because I use it in my classroom every single day. I use, like, the notation stuff that I've had to learn when I teach every single day. Whenever I have to take a test for it, it's just...
Yeah, I get that. That actually affects a lot of people. Something I used to get really nervous about, too. I didn't like taking tests, even when I felt, like, prepared for it or studied for it. It's just one of those things. It's like, you know, I just got to keep a cool head. It's like, I know this. Find a question that I know the answer to for sure, with beyond question, and answer it. And then once I get past that first question, I'm like, okay, I've calmed down. Once I get past the second question, I'm like, all right, I think I know what I'm talking about, and I just go for it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure that out in a couple of weeks because my finals, I think it's the third or fourth week of January.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah. Well... Should we answer some questions?
Sure.
Yeah? Let's see. I asked Instagram some questions.
Oh, that's a great place to ask questions. That's like the Google of
questions. It's also the place I have the most followers. So the first one that I got was, when did you figure out you were each other's soulmates?
Oh, man. Truthfully,
Do you even... Okay, here's one question. Do you believe in soulmates?
I mean, the idea is nice. I've never really thought about it beyond kind of like this. Yeah. It's something I've never really gave it a thought to, or it's like, is there that one person that's out there for me? It's like, I've always seen it as there's somebody I'm meant to be with, but I don't know who that person is. And hopefully I just... Hopefully I find them or meet them.
Yeah, I don't know about the soulmate thing. I used to believe in it, like, really gung-ho, because, you know, Christian upbringing is, like, the one person or whatever, but it's not necessarily a soulmate. But I'm like, I don't know if it's a soulmate. I mean, but, yeah, I don't even know what that means. What is a soulmate?
It depends on what you look at. I know in Greek mythology, and if you follow that, when people were created by Zeus, they used to be conjoined. So be two heads, four arms, and four legs.
Yeah, weird looking creatures.
it was really weird.
But that's where this term soulmate is derived from, right? Is Greek mythology.
Mm-hmm. All that. Because, and the reason...
I do remember that, actually.
That was something... And the kind of like the legend or myth goes that Zeus was terrified of what he saw, and he didn't like it because he felt that when people were that close together or that intertwined, they could potentially try and rise up and overthrow the gods. And so he split them, forcing them to constantly look for one another to feel whole again.
We don't necessarily believe in the whole soulmate thing, but I guess the other way to answer the question would be, how did we know we were going to be serious or whatever? How did you know that?
I don't think I ever really knew. It's just something that one day I kind of woke up and I just thought, yeah, this is it. This, she's the one.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it for me. Just, I didn't really think about it. It just was, I woke up one day and just, I looked at my phone. I saw a good morning message from you. And I'm like, this is the one. I wouldn't say you're my soulmate, but I would say that you are definitely my best friend.
Yeah. See, I'm a big believer in best friends. If you're best friends, and you're, of course, of the opposite sex, because that's what I believe, that would...
You definitely have a chance for...
You've got good relationship potential.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, yeah. I think once I realized that we were best friends, I think that was another thing, too.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we're, like, he's my best friend. And I was like... Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, this is, like, definitely good grounds for a relationship.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think what kind of just made it easier was the fact that as we kept just talking, building our friendship and then becoming best friends, it's like, yeah, no, I'm content with where I'm at.
Yeah. And then we've just kind of let it progress naturally. The other question was, how have you made your relationship last so long?
How?
Kind of by accident. Not accident, but...
Well, I don't... To be truthful, it's like, if I look at all the things that you and I have done together, it's not a whole lot.
Yeah.
We've both been very busy people, and especially you with... When you used to drive from LA back to Bakersfield, I'd only get a chance to see you for, like, wait, maybe once a week?
Yeah. If that.
On a... For lunch or something.
Because what, when we first got together, we had gotten together in September, basically, we started dating in September of 2019, and I didn't move back to Bakersfield until Christmas that year. So we had, what is that?
Like a couple months in between months. Where we're only seeing each other maybe 4 months. Once a week.
Yeah, at that point, when we first started dating, we were like not really seeing each other all that much.
But, yeah,
and then during Nutcracker season, we really weren't seeing each other at all.
I think it's the reason we've lasted so long is mostly because we keep trying and putting an effort for one another.
Yeah. Communication, too. Communication's the biggest thing, I think. Because we've always been pretty, like, open and, like, open-ended with our communication.
I think we're more so now than when we first started. When we first started, that was definitely...
Yeah.
We were a little bit more shelled and closed off from one another and... Yeah. Kind of testing out the waters to see if we absolutely trusted one another.
Yeah, because we had a friendship, but at the same time, we didn't really, like, know each other super, super...
Well
at that point.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I would say just communication is kind of what worked for us, that and just making effort.
Yeah.
And I think because we're two very different people, we lead two very different lives. Mm-hmm. That definitely kind of gave us something to talk about during the week or whenever we did get to see each other.
Yeah.
And it just sort of flowed a lot naturally for us. And I think that's part of the reason why you and I ended up becoming best friends.
Yeah. Well, and I think, like, when you can find somebody that you can talk to for hours at a time and it's seamless and it's like, oh, now it's 2 a.m. I got to go to bed now kind of a thing. That's like the best kind of...
Friendship
and the best, like, ground for relationship, because if you can talk for really long periods of time just about life and nothing and, you know, whatever.
Talk about everything that's serious and talk about complete nonsense all at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Like conversations that are important, but
you know,
at the same
time. You
know
those people that you just, like, are constantly, you want to talk to them, so there's always going to be something for you to talk to them about. It's not like... Oh, I have to talk to you, and like now it's getting awkward.
Yeah, it doesn't feel forced.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like it's burning out, like the conversation's just dwindling.
Yeah, it's not a surface level kind of conversation. Hey, how are you doing? I'm doing good. How was your day? Good?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's like, all right.
Yeah, I just can't deal with those kind of conversations. It's like, look, if you want me to just have an appetizer of a conversation, we can cut dinner short then.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, we've been together for 2 years, about.
Going on 3 in September.
Yeah, going on 3 in September. We had a little bit of a break in 2020 pretty much right as the pandemic happened. I mean, our lives were kind of crashing on top of us at that point.
Oh, there's so much happening in 2020.
I think, honestly, it was the best thing for us, though, because, I mean, I did initiate it, and obviously it was not, you know, it was short-lived, but, like...
Something you didn't really wanted to do.
Yeah, it was just something where, like, we both were in very different headspaces than we are now. Like, we were... I feel like we kind of stayed the same from, like, the time we got together to the time that... Because we had dated for almost 7 months before that happened. And when we... When I, like, initiated that kind of break, it was, like... I don't know. It was just, like, if like we hadn't, like, really grown all that much. And we kind of just stayed stagnant. And then after, like, we kind of got through what we had to go through in, like, that few-month period that we weren't really together... Then we just, like, had all this growth happen, and then ever since then, it's just been, like, growing and growing and...
It was something that kind of just, like, broke the ice, and just since then, it's, like, the river kind of just ran with it.
Yeah, and, yeah, it was, I mean, I think it was really good for our relationship, so, like, I mean, people always ask, like, do you have any regrets in your relationship and things like that, and it's, like, not necessarily,
like... Not really.
Because the reason why I say that is because if that hadn't happened, we might have had to go through the things that we had to go through in a much worse way later on had we stayed together, maybe. Or it could have just imploded our relationship entirely. Who knows? But, like...
I don't really think about it, only because it's like, it happened, leave it where it belongs, and it's in the past.
Yeah.
Definitely something I learned from, but honestly, after it happened, I was like... It was kind of like a surreal moment for me. It was just because what was I doing that day? I was cooking like food outside in the rain. Yeah. Try explaining that and how
I'm alive. Wow, that's a very depressing setting, isn't it?
Well, I mean, 2020 was a very depressing year. So yeah, it's like, I'm trying to make the most out of this. I want to eat food that's not made by the school. I want a slice of home since I can't go home.
Yeah. It's true.
Just trying to bring some sort of comfort into my life at that time.
Yeah.
And at the same time, trying to share kind of like love to my friends. It's like, hey, it's like, here, let's cook some food. Let's eat it. You know, let's just have a good time as we possibly can. Today's kind of doom and gloom, gloomy. But, you know, let's make the best of it. And that was kind of how it went. And and like the entire day, just something was feeling really off. I couldn't put my finger on it, and then I just get this message saying, call me. I'm like, okay. And then it happened, and I was just, all I thought was, well, that just happened.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm not going to really argue. I'm not going to go out kicking and screaming. It's like, you know that I tried to raise the bar in your standards. It's like, don't settle for anything less if you move on.
Yeah.
And then I kind of just left it alone. And then after that, I was like, well... Now what?
Yeah. If I could have healed, and then if we could have built our friendship a little longer and then not gotten together as soon as we did, I think it would have been better for us. I mean, either way, we can't change it. So, like, I mean, really...
Maybe, sure. But the way I see it is, it's like we kind of just jumped into it. And it was this immediate thing of, you're not doing so well.
Yeah, let's be each other's crutch for a little bit.
It's like, yeah, we were trying to be a crutch for one another, trying to help each other, trying to like, it's like, here, try this, you try this. And it's like, trying to force feed each other our own medicine. It's like, this isn't working out very well.
We're both fixer type of people. We're both fixers. Like, I'm constantly wanting to fix things, and he's constantly wanting to fix things. So it became a game of, let's try and fix each other.
I think...
And not in, like, the bad way where it's like, oh, you have all these problems, let me fix you because I want to make you, like, what I want you to be. It was just, like, we were trying to help each other.
It's like trying to help each other grow.
And it wasn't working. Was,
well, no, it was helping... Yeah. But it wasn't dealing with the root issues. And you and I are the same kind of fixer.
Yeah.
It's like we're willing to give you all the advice and give whatever we have from the bottom of our soul.
We'll drain ourselves of all the blood in our bodies to help you.
Yeah, basically. But it was that thing. It's like, oh, I'm going to help you. No, how am I trying to say that? Like, we were willing to give all to one another.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to take our own medicine.
Yes. And we didn't want to take each other's medicine either. So it's like.
And yeah, but you were more stubborn than I was with it. Because it's like.
Well, because we're both very stubborn people.
I was a little bit more open and accepting.
Yeah, you were, I think. Yeah.
Just a little bit. Not by much.
Not by much, but. No, that was one of the questions too, is what is some of your similar qualities and then what are your polar opposite qualities? He's very patient. I am not. I'm not blessed in the patience department. I have to really be really good about being patient, because patience is really a struggle for me, because I want constant control, and if I need to be patient about something, it means that I'm not in control of something. So patience for me does not, no, I'm not a very patient person, but I think I have gotten better because we've been together so long that
you definitely have gotten better at being patient.
It's rubbed off on me. His patience has rubbed off on me. And then I pray every day that my impatience doesn't rub off on him.
It hasn't necessarily rubbed off on me. I just, road rage is still very much a thing with me.
Yeah, we're both the same way in the car. We both have like equally the amount of road rage.
You a little bit more so.
Yeah, I'm pretty aggressive though.
Me, it's like I get upset and you're like, calm down. And I look at you, I'm just like, really? You're telling me to calm down? It's like, you know what? I haven't really said anything. I just took a couple of angry breaths and I'm letting it go.
Yeah.
That's another way we're similar, but very polar opposite with how we deal with it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you've ever told me to calm down.
I've known better. You tell a woman to calm down, you get hit.
Yeah, I think actually that was one of the first conversations I think having in our relationship. I think he told me, I'm never going to tell you to calm down. And I was like, why? I was like, if I'm not calm, you know,
I'm not going to say calm down. I'm going to say, hey, take some deep breaths. Some deep breaths. In through the nose, out through the mouth, in through the nose.
Because he told me, he was like, my best friend told me that's the easiest way to get punched by a girl. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of true.
Because think about it. What's the one thing, if somebody tells you to calm down, what's the one thing you want to do?
Not calm down.
You want to turn around and yell at them, right?
Scream.
What if you tell someone, it's like, hey, just take a couple deep breaths. And they're like, okay, I need to breathe. Because your body's going to do it naturally. And when you tell someone, take deep breaths, it's like, and they hear that and they think, breathe consistently over. It's like, and then they just sort of, their body relaxes and they're more open to hearing the next thing.
Yeah.
So.
But what's a similarity you think we have?
A similarity?
What's your favorite similarity?
What's one way we're similar? Ooh. I don't really know how similar we are, because you're very much a planner and I'm just very much a get up and goer.
Well, I think that we're both very,
adventurous. That's the way we're similar, actually.
Really?
Yes. See, the difference that makes us complete polar opposite, however, is you have to plan the adventure.
Yeah, that's true.
I say, let's just go.
That is very true.
Without a plan. And I say, like, what are we going to do? It's like, we'll figure it out when we get there. It's like, and you're like, because you're not in control, you freak out and you're like, I don't like this. Yeah. I'm not going to have fun. I'm like, you just have to just breathe, take deep breaths.
Yeah.
Take deep breaths, let it go. You don't have to be in control. We're here to have fun. That is in your control. And if you're not going to control how much fun you have, then you're going to kill it for yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, don't ruin it for yourself. And you're like, oh, fine. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because we do like to go on adventures. It's just the mannerisms of which we approach the same things are just completely different.
Oh, yeah.
I do think, though, again, this is one of those situations where we're very similar in this, but our approaches are different, is that when we have a conviction, we're very stubborn to stick to them.
Yeah.
Except, here's my thing. I jump in head first with convictions and then figure out if I like them or not. He takes his time. He takes a lot of time.
Which, oh, yeah. When it comes to convictions, you and I are switched.
Yeah.
I'll
jump in head first and I will figure it out from there and I will chew the meat and spit out the bones, as they say. But he is like very, very
articulate.
Yes, in the way that he approaches it, and sometimes it takes a long time, which has also helped me with my patience, because when it comes to, that's the thing I admire about him, is that when he makes a decision, he makes that decision. You're not going to change his mind, but the only negative thing, and it's not really negative, but the only negative thing for me is that I have to be really patient about it, because he'll take 2 years to make the decision.
Ouch. Yeah, I'm like a diesel engine that's trying to start up in cold weather. It takes forever.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing though.
No, because once it's going, it's going. You can't get that diesel engine to stop unless you take away the fuel.
Yeah. What is one of our favorite things to do together? We like to drive. We'll go on like day trips and we'll talk all throughout the drive. That's like a way that like we would get like really good connection time, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely our drives. That's one, I would say that's one of our favorite things to do. We'll usually go to like the same places too. It's like we'll go down to LA or Santa Monica, maybe Long Beach or Monterey.
Yeah.
But the one thing I have noticed is whenever we go, we're just talking for hours on end. I don't even have to put the music on.
Yeah.
Or we could have it on and we just have the volume set so low just that way it's there for like ambiance, I guess.
Yeah.
But the conversation just goes on and on and on and it just doesn't seem to stop.
Yeah.
And then finally we get to the car or wherever we're going. It's like, I don't want to stop talking, do you? No, not really. All right. And then we just keep driving around for a little bit longer.
Yeah. I don't know. Something about being stuck in a car together. I think that that's one of the things that can really make or break your relationship. If you're stuck in the car for too long.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But we just talk for hours.
And also, whenever we go, like on a long trip or a drive, it's like as soon as we start like feeling like hungry or need to use the restroom, it's like we have like no time limit on ourselves. It's like we'll get there when we get there. The whole point of this is for us to sort of like connect and sort of get into each other's heads and sort of see and listen and understand one another.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because I feel like those trips are not really about the doing whatever it is we're going there to do. It's about just like connecting with each other. So it's like even if we don't ever get there and all we did was talk and drive, like.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It's cool with me. I mean, it takes a lot of gas, but.
I mean, it's expensive, but I mean, kind of, it's something that it's like planned for. It's like, I think that's the only thing I do plan for or try and prep for is.
Yeah.
The financial side of things, especially with like trips or day trips, whatever we'd end up doing.
Which we'll do like maybe, I mean, last year we did it, what, 3 times last year?
Yeah, and it's not a very often thing, but whenever we do it, it's something that sort of, it's kind of like needed.
Yeah.
And it comes like usually at the right time, just the conversations go on and they don't seem to stop.
Yeah. This was one of the questions I thought was interesting, because they know that I've been a Christian for years and years, but they asked, did he convert for you, or was he always a Christian?
That's a good question. Actually, I was raised in a Christian household for as long as I can remember. I was taught the Word of God by my grandfather. For as long as I can remember, up until he passed away in 2020, essentially. So a lot of what I know about the Bible, who Jesus was, the Acts, the Apostles, sort of came from him teaching me, but also part of it was him pushing me to get into my Bible and read. I got my salvation back in 2012, I think, and I think that was when I made the conscious choice, at that time to accept Jesus into my life. And that was about the time my dad was he was trying to lose weight because he wanted to join the Porterville Police Department. He wanted to be a cop. Yeah, man's
hard on the family. And that job.
Yeah. And he said it's like, yeah, I was on spring break with my brother. We were gonna go fishing sometime. He was gonna take us. But yeah, I think it was a Tuesday. He was cooking dinner and he could just feel like a conviction in his heart. Like he could feel like the tugging of the Holy Spirit. And like, I could feel it too. I knew what was going on because I looked at him. I'm like, Dad, just go. I got this. And I took over cooking dinner. Mm. And he didn't really say anything. He just left. And he closed his door. And as soon as I heard the door close, I heard him crying. And it's like, I knew the Holy Spirit was hitting him hard. But it was good because after that, it's that same Sunday, I got my salvation. I asked for my salvation. And so from then on, it was like, I knew who Jesus was. And I accepted him. And my grandfather was like, all right, now that you've done this, it's like, you need to seek out the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm like, well, what's that? And he's like, okay, well, read in the Acts. And it's like, and look at the Roman road. I'm like, what? It's like, these are all French to me. I don't understand a single thing you're saying, Grandpa. Yeah, it's like, look it up in your Bible and you tell me what you think. And so I kind of just started reading. And when I got lost and halfway through the Acts and through Romans, I'm like, I didn't really understand any of it. So I went back to the four Gospels of Jesus. And I read through those again. And the more I read through those again, I was there in that instance with seeing what they were seeing and feeling what they were feeling. And then I went back to Acts and started reading through it, and it made so much more sense. So since 2012, 2011?
Yeah.
It was one of those years.
So yeah. So he was a Christian, which I had no idea before we actually started dating that he was a Christian. Because, I mean, again, we didn't really know each other super, super well. But when we did meet, there was like kind of this like instantaneous, like we could talk for hours kind of a thing. But when we got together, I did find out that he was a Christian, which was different for me because I've always dated people that were not Christian or that had converted because of me. So that was different for me to kind of be dating somebody that was like, that understood having a relationship with God for themselves and things like that. So, which again is another really great thing about our relationship because yeah. Well, I don't have to babysit him in that.
No.
Yeah.
Prior when we started dating, I think I'd always been looking to date somebody who was a believer, you know, who believed in Jesus and who believed in God, somebody who had a relationship or at the very least, you know, was somebody who was willing to go to church. The reason I was willing to accept people who were kind of like, who just went to church, if nothing else, was because at least I knew they would be hearing the word of God.
Yeah.
And if they were to stick around me long enough, they'd feel the conviction, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, and that they would, you know, convert. I never wanted to try and convert anybody from what they believed or why they believed it.
Yeah.
Not to say that that's not my job or I didn't think I was supposed to, but I knew that if I wanted to date somebody and be serious about them, that kind of like the prerequisite was they had to have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because I was not about to try and pull somebody up to my level because it'd be much easier for them to pull me down and drag me down.
Yeah. I think my problem was I was so desperately trying to get out of, because the only guys I really knew that loved Jesus were all in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was raised as a pastor's kid, I was kind of like, I don't want to marry a pastor. That's the last kind of person I would want to marry because I'd grown up for years and years and years in ministry. And again, like, nothing wrong with ministry or anything like that, but it is very taxing like anything else on a family. But, you know, for me, it was like, with my parents and my family, just experiencing everything that we've had to experience as a family in ministry together, it was just like, it was very intense. And so then it was like, well, I would much rather marry somebody that loves Jesus that's not necessarily a pastor, which, like, you know, like, If you were to go in ministry, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But I think it was like, I didn't want that to be the sole focus was ministry. And so, like, the sole focus can be Jesus without the sole focus being ministry. And that's something I want to make really, really clear. Because I've always said, like, my relationship with Jesus is completely different from my relationship with the church. Like, my relationship with God has nothing to do with being in ministry or not being in ministry, because if you love Jesus, then nothing, and he is the sole focus of your life, he's going to be prominent and eminent throughout your life, no matter where you're at. And
no matter what you do either. I mean, yeah. Because as long as you keep Jesus as a center focus, it's going to invade and be a part of every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
And it's going to be evident in every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a difference between, you know, people who having a love for Jesus and people who are in ministry who say they have a love for Jesus.
Yeah.
The difference is some people are going to treat it like a job and not as something that's kind of like it's going to be taxing to them.
Yeah.
They're going to say, I just do this because it's a job. It's a job. But when you ask somebody who actually loves Jesus, it's like, oh, I love doing this. I love being of service to others, you know, helping others.
Yeah.
And it's the love of God that sort of that's in them that they it's the reason why they love doing what they do. They're passionate about it because they're passionate about Jesus.
Yeah. So that's like definitely my favorite thing about our relationship and will always be my favorite thing is that we didn't meet in a ministry setting.
Yeah.
Because like that was the last question that came in was what's the dynamic been between you two in regards to both of your careers being so different? And it's like we do have very different careers. I mean, you're a pilot, I'm a ballet dancer / businesswoman / does whatever it is I do.
You're someone who has their feet firmly planted on the ground, and I'm somebody who's trying to keep my feet in the air.
Yeah, and it's, you know, but we both love the Lord, and we both, you know, as much as we're both introverts and we have to get ourselves out of our shells a little bit, we do love people, like the people that we are friends with, the people that we
I wouldn't really consider myself an introvert though. I mean,
oh, honey, you're an introvert though.
No.
Yes.
Hold on. I'm an introvert when I want to be, which is the majority of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
However, I can be an extrovert. So I've always considered myself.
Just because you're friendly doesn't mean that you're not an introvert. Like, my mom is, like, talkative and friendly, but she's an introvert.
I've always considered myself an ambivert, somebody who can go either way. Like, if it depends on what I did.
You can, but only with people you really like.
Even with people I don't know.
But people you don't know, you might like them.
Exactly.
But people you don't like, you won't go out with.
There's a reason I don't like them.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's a very introvert thing, because, like, we have a friend, like, Sam. He's an extrovert. He will go with whoever. It doesn't really matter to him. He will go hang out with whoever, because he loves being around people. And he loves having a good time with people. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter if he likes them on a regular basis or doesn't like them. He'll hang out with almost anybody.
Fine, I'll give that one to you.
But, like, we both love people, and we love listening, and we both love, you know, being, I feel like, just, like, sharing what God's done in our lives with other people. But yeah, I mean, we balance the dynamic of our careers in the best way that we possibly can. I mean, it's kind of an it is what it is situation. So when I was dancing in a company, when we first got together, we were spending a lot of time apart, but
again, part of it was just effort being made, though.
Yeah, we made each other a priority.
Yeah. I think the most fun thing we've done, like the funnest thing we've done thus far together, was taking a trip down to San Diego by plane.
Yes, that was so much fun.
I'm grateful we didn't have to rent out a crew car.
Yeah, me too. My friend drove to San Diego for my birthday. She drove because she was going to actually spend a few extra days there on vacation. And so she just came with us. And it was me, John, and two of our other really good friends. And we rented out an Airbnb. Me and my friend Audrey, we spent the night in our little room. And it was really great because it was just like, I don't know. It was just really cool and it was really chill and we had so much fun.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely relaxing and just sort of nice to be outside of Bakersfield in the summer.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was also my first time really truly experiencing, like, part of what John does, like, almost every day. At that point in time, he was flying a lot, and so.
Yeah, that was a mission.
That was really fun.
I was surprised at how smooth it was, though.
I was, too. I thought it was going to be, like, not assuming that you guys were going to be dangerous pilots or anything like that, but I just assumed, like, oh, it's a small plane, the turbulence, like, yeah. I was scared I was going to be sick, but, like, it was
I was
so
scared you were
going to
be sick. I brought six sacks and everything.
Oh, my gosh. It was so much fun. But
ginger pills, ginger rails, water, cold water.
Yeah, we had everything.
And then we didn't even use it.
We didn't need it. Which was a good thing. I mean, I had Dramamine. I did take Dramamine both times just in case, but both times when we flew there and we flew back, I think the most turbulent part of our flight was going there and when we were landing, because the two airport strips, and like we just had to make a really quick descent, and that's when I could really feel it, but even then it didn't feel so bad.
Well, even then, you know, shout out to my buddy Jaden. He's an expert pilot with small aircraft.
The landing was so smooth. I didn't know. I was assuming it to be horrible because I'm like, this is a small plane. Like, it's going to be like, I'm used to like Navy pilots landing my commercial jets. And it's like, you feel like you're going to die.
That's the difference between a Navy pilot and, you know, the rest of us pilots.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught to butter it.
They have some harsh landings, those Navy pilots.
Well, it's not their fault.
No.
Okay. They're forced to.
Their aircrafts are like pretty intense.
Well, not just that. When you're forced to like land your aircraft on a moving landing strip in the middle of the ocean, that's very small.
Yeah, that is.
You have to hit a certain point in order to stop.
Yeah.
Because on the on the aircraft carriers, what they have is like this little bar, and it's attached to this wire.
I've seen those.
So they have to slam it on the deck for that little hook to catch that wire.
So that their plane doesn't fly off.
So that way it doesn't go too slow.
Oh.
And it goes off the other end.
Yeah. See, this is what we talk about on a regular basis. We'll like talk about random stuff, aviation.
Yeah, my aviation geek came out.
Weird stuff. But
I'm so surprised that when you talk to that pilot, it's like, wow, you know a lot. Are you a pilot? And like, no, my boyfriend is.
No,
like,
my boyfriend's a pilot.
He's like, what? And it's like, wow, like, your boyfriend knows this stuff.
I like listening. Unlike a lot of people, I don't tune out when they talk about their airplane geek stuff. Because I always think of it this way. I travel a lot and I fly a lot. And ever there's a case of an emergency, I do well under pressure, not when it comes to tests, but if it's an emergency situation, my instincts kick in and everything goes to my brain and it starts firing at a million miles a minute. So then I can just remember everything our friends have taught us about aviation. And I can be like, okay, I got it.
It's not that bad.
No.
If we keep talking about aviation like this, people are going to be terrified to get on a plane.
I know.
It's really not that bad. You know, they say the planes that crash, it's only 1 in 3.
Oh my god.
I'm kidding. That's not the actual statistic. It's much more safer to fly on an airplane, I promise.
Honestly, I think the thing that I did, it made me a lot more patient at airports though. Whenever there's like a delay on my airplane or like we take forever to take off or like whatever it is, like it's given me a lot more patience because now all of my friends now are basically pilots. So it's like pilots, ballet dancers, and a few extra ones that are, you know, mixers. But
yeah.
They like, I've really like understood like the appreciation that I have for pilots now because I'm like, oh, wow, there's a lot that goes into that. So I'm like, okay,
oh, yeah.
Like, if we're taking forever to take off, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, that they're trying to make it safe. Thank you, Jesus, that we're actually going to get on the ground. Thank you, Jesus, that we're not rushing. Like,
well, yeah. Honestly, when it comes to like for regional airlines, you're always going to have a pilot that has at least 1,000 hours.
Yeah,
that's going to be a given no matter what. But when you fly like a legacy airline or an established airline, such as like Delta or United, or even Qantas, something that does overseas, those pilots have upwards of 5,000-6,000.
Oh, wow.
Some of them have 10,000.
Is that why a lot of people start regional and then they move up to
bigger? Well, you have airlines to start regional. You can't go straight into a legacy airline such as Emirates or Qantas, anything that goes overseas. And the reason for that is the bigger the aircraft, the more systems it has on board.
Gotcha.
The more you have to know.
Makes sense.
And plus, if you think about it, the safer pilots are the more experienced ones.
Yeah, that is true.
And at the same time, they're also the most dangerous ones. Only because after so many hours of doing the same thing day in, day out, it's easy to become complacent and think, oh, this is just another day.
Easy for it to become routine.
It's like a routine. It's like, and while that's not terrible, you know what to do, you know what to expect. It's easy to overlook something.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things, like, there's a lot that goes into, you know, being a pilot and how to make this as safe as possible.
Yeah. How did you feel when I told you that I was a ballet dancer? And, like, what was... His first experience was one of my worst shows ever of, like, actually coming to see me. It was him, one of our really good friends. And he came with, like, all of my family, my teachers and everything. And that was the worst show I think I've ever done in my entire life. It was a train wreck of a show, to be honest. Literally such a train wreck that our theater caught on fire, so... I don't know if we really brought the house down in the best way possible, but like...
No, I think God was just trying to save you guys. It's like, that way, if they want to complain, they can complain about this.
Yeah, it was not the best show ever or the best experience ever, but...
I couldn't follow half of it. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just here, man.
I'm excited for Nutcracker, though, because I think it's a storyline that's easy to follow, and I think you'd probably enjoy it a little bit better.
It's a Christmas story. I don't understand dancing, though.
I know.
I kind of just watch. I'm like, oh, nice. That's nice. I'm sorry. I get hit. Sometimes I get hit with this wall of apathy.
Yeah, he really does. I don't mind it, though.
And it's not that I don't care. It's like I'm trying to show interest, but I'm like, because I don't understand, I don't care.
He did really enjoy, though, when I took him to see all my students perform at our annual June show, we call it Mad Fest. He really did enjoy that, though. It was really funny to see him light up and just get all excited.
Dude, so that was so cool. I'm not going to lie. Okay, by the way, those toddlers, they were more in sync and more on beat than some of the people at the studio from that one show I went to go. I'm like, wow, you're getting shown up by toddlers. What is up with that?
Those toddlers are really cute, too.
Speaking of which, did they ever get that boy his ice cream?
Yes.
That boy deserved his ice cream.
They all went to Rosemary's afterwards for ice cream.
Good. He deserved ice cream.
Yeah. But I think that's the fun thing. I think he needs it to be a little more exciting for him to, like, really be engaged, which, like, is good to know, but... Yeah.
I need to be stimulated.
He needs to be mentally stimulated.
Because if I watch it, I'm just like, should I keep watching? No, maybe. It's like, there's got to be some point of give and take.
Do you ever, like, appreciate, like, the music, though? I mean, I know it's hard because you haven't really been much to really good, solid ballets or anything like that, but...
I think the whole... When we went to MadFest... I was listening to the music the entire time.
Yeah.
And, like, I didn't really pay attention to the dancing. It was just, I'd pick out a face to, like, focus on for a little bit and see how well they were doing. And then whenever your understudies or the principals would come in, I'd, like, sit there and watch them, like, okay. And I'd follow and it's like, okay, wow, they're actually doing really good.
Yeah.
And just to the beat and to the way it sounded. And it's like, the way it was written was really cool.
Yeah. And the funny thing about John is that he has a real attention to detail, like an eye for detail. So, like, it's really funny because I'll show him a piece that I just choreographed for him and I'm expecting him to, like, give me this, like, oh yeah, it looks really good, or like, whatever, like, I understand it. He's like, you have a chicken arm there, you have this, and I'm like, I need you to compliment it, not pick it apart.
I'm not even sorry.
I know.
Because truthfully, it's like...
Well, honestly, it does make me look at it then. And then I'm like, okay, now, like, when I go back and rehearse it, I'm like, no chicken arms.
And then you come back to me again. And it's like, you were kind of off step there and there. But other than that, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
And you're like, off step where? I wasn't off step. I've reviewed this like 3 times. And I'm like, and I scroll high speed, scroll through it. And it's like, here. And you're like, what the? How did you? Yeah. It's like, I didn't even notice that. And then I'll go do it again. It's like, and here.
Which really tells me that he doesn't check out during it, which is like, you know, I mean, like, I think every dancer, because they're so hard on themselves, they'd be like all offended and whatnot. But I mean, I don't mind it. It makes my choreography a lot better.
And it also shows that I'm paying attention to you.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, you actually pay attention to this? I'm like, as hard for you, as hard as it may seem to believe that I'm not paying attention, yeah. I am paying attention. And then she'll continue talking to me and I'll be checked out completely and I'll turn and be like, wait, what?
Yes, he does that. You know what? I'm okay with that though. I know there's a lot of people that would be like, oh my God, I'm so offended by that. But I don't care. I really don't. Because at the end of the day, I still feel heard. So it's like, I got what I needed out of that. Who cares if it was exactly the way I expected it to go?
Sometimes I'll come back and be like, wait, what? I didn't hear a single thing you said. Yeah. And you're like, wait, seriously? I'm like, it's like, I heard, and then I'll repeat back what I heard. It's like, you said you didn't hear anything. I'm like, no, I didn't understand what you had said, but I heard what you had said. Yeah. Doesn't mean I understand what's going on. It's like, so what's this, like, what's the point of this?
Which you'll still remember things, and it's wild to me. I don't understand how.
Like, how are you doing that?
But, I mean, to be fair, I can kind of do the same thing too. So, I mean, I don't mind it. But again, like, that's another thing. Going back to the advice about lasting relationships, don't pick fights about the tiny things. I have to rise above my pettiness all the time, guys. I'm a very petty person by nature. But I rise above it, I feel like, 9 times out of 10.
I don't really realize when you're being petty, I'll be honest. You could be completely petty, like, all day. I'm like, what's your problem? And you'd be like, nothing.
I have to actually really be very... I have to exercise a lot of self-control in my pettiness.
And then I just assume you're hungry. I'm like, you want to go get some food?
I know. He'll be like... I just, like, one time I was being all in my feelings and I was like being all whiny, and then he just came over and gave me a hug and he's like, do you want coffee? And I was like, yes. And he made me coffee and I was fine the rest of the day. Which now it's gonna have to be a cup of tea because I can't drink coffee anymore. Sad face. But
it's the way I just sort of look at it, it's like, you know what, the reason people are always mad, probably because they're hungry. So if you give them food, I wonder how mad they would be.
I don't know. We would have very fat, happy people, I suppose. Shall we wrap it up?
Sure.
What is, quick fire, what is your favorite TV show to watch right now?
Ooh, Longmire.
Mine is Peaky Blinders. I really like that show.
It's good, right?
Gosh, that's so, it's
very dramatic. So
good. Favorite piece of music you've been listening to? Or artist?
Don't know. I have too many to count.
Mine's Adele. I want to be Adele's best friend. I really feel like we would gel well together.
That would be funny. Just to see you and Adele just sitting there drinking coffee, and for you it would be tea. Or oh, having a spot gosh. Of tea and just talking about random things.
Oh my gosh, it'd be such a British conversation. Yeah. I was watching, that is one of my favorite things ever. Oh my gosh. Her one night only interview with Oprah, just like everything she was saying, I was like, oh my God, I feel like you are, see, this is where I'm like, if soulmates existed, I'm pretty sure it'd be Adele here, because we are of same mind.
At the very least, best friends.
Very least best friends. What is your favorite sweet?
Chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, that is really good. I have to say that too. Your chocolate chip cookies are really good.
Just something about them. Just make those, trying to make a pizookie out of it.
Ooh. Favorite day of the year?
Favorite day of the year?
Yes.
Day of the year?
Yes, favorite day of the year.
There's 365 days. If I say one, the other 364 are going to be offended.
No. If they get offended, that's their problem.
December 26th.
Day after Christmas?
Yes.
Mine's January 3rd. Officially, the holidays are all over.
Ooh, I actually like that one. Can I switch mine?
Apple Music or Spotify?
Spotify, 100%.
I like Apple Music better.
I like Spotify better.
But I also have a subscription to Apple Music, so.
You also have Apple Spotify?
Yeah, Apple Spotify. I used to have Spotify. And then what's a favorite thing?
Favorite thing to do? My favorite thing to do is definitely flying. I think the one thing I'd like to do more of this year is, you know, take you flying to random different places.
I'm down for that. That'd be fun. It'd
be very interesting if I was able to get your dad in a plane.
Oh my gosh. My goal this year is to get John in the studio with me so I can teach him how to dance a little bit.
Get who?
You. Get you to dance a little bit.
Nah, I only dance on the rudders.
Come on. All right, and last one. What's your favorite tea?
Tea?
Mm-hmm.
Peach green tea.
Peach green tea. Specifically the Tapal kind.
Mm-hmm.
It's from this store that our friend Bishoy gets them from. He brings it to us from LA all the time.
Shout out to our friend and my landlord.
Yes.
I know rent is due.
All right.
You ever seen that, what was it, Spider-Man 2 or 3? That one guy that always comes out, he's like, rent.
Oh, which one?
The Tobey Maguire series.
Oh, yes.
And that's what Bishoy reminds me of sometimes. Rent.
Rent. Time for rent. All right. Any last words for our listeners?
Bye.
All righty, guys. Thanks for listening to this very chaotic episode. Thanks, babe, for coming on and helping me with this.
Of course. Anytime.
And we'll have him back with a couple of our friends because I think it'd be a really fun time.
Oh, my Lord. You're going to have to censor so much.
Yeah, we might have to make it an explicit episode for cursing because our friends like to curse.
They have no self-control.
No, they don't. Not like us. I'm just kidding.
I have self-control.
We both have self-control. Our friends would argue they also have self-control. They just elect not to use it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that knob in their brain is broken.
All right. Bye, everyone. And we'll see you guys next week for another episode. Ciao.